Welcome to the MissouriNet Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe. With me, Brent Martin, Bob Pretty, Steve Walsh. Today, we're going to talk about Missouri developments as well as the first 100 days of Barack Obama. He came through Missouri?
Yes, he did. He was in Arnold, in fact.
And
on the 100th day.
On the 100th day.
Did we have anybody there covering it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was sent there. Isn't it interesting? Yes. I went to Arnold for the 100th
day. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. It was kind of interesting. It was one of those getting up at dark 30 and hitting the road so I could get in time.
Multiple hours of security checkpoints.
Yeah. I had to go through the security checkpoints. Interestingly enough, I didn't think it was so bad. The roads outside. I kind of thought the roads might be pretty gosh darn bad, but they weren't. Got in, no problem, and did the security check, of course. You know, the full cavity search. The
arms
whole
up.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting. Okay, I'm exaggerating. They didn't do the full cavity search, but they did a scan, the whole bit. Got in there, and it was good. Had to get there early, but the president came along. Asked only six questions. Answered only six questions. Interestingly enough, he had more time, but the president has a tendency to do the War and Peace version of answers as opposed to the Reader's Digest condensed version. You know, never say in 10 words what you can say in 10,000.
Absolutely.
And he does give long answers to questions. All in all, it went very well. We had a whole group, all of the Missouri statewide officials, elected officials, were there, Democrats. The Democrats, from Senator McCaskill, of course, who is an FOB. She's a friend of Barack.
Mm-hmm.
She was there, as was the governor, Jay Nixon, Clint Zweifel, the treasurer. They had a whole gang of people. And Chris Koster showed up, and Susan Monty, the whole gang. Even Gene Carnahan was there.
Absolutely.
Former
no
senator.
No Republicans.
I've been interested in finding out, though, because you covered Biden when he was in Jefferson City a few
years
before. Was it easier to cover the president than the vice president?
Actually, it was.
Sounds like
it really was. Covering the president was much easier.
Smaller crowd, though, right?
Well, not at the event I attended. The ABB event in Jefferson City probably had a couple of hundred people, or maybe 800-900 people, just under 1,000 at the Obama event. The thing that I found very interesting was that it was better organized, maybe because it was in a high school as opposed to in a company where there might be sensitive material. I'm not sure what the reason was, but it was a lot easier. And Jessica Machetta, of course, our colleague who went to Whiteman Air Force Base, she had to be in there a couple of hours before it started and couldn't leave for a long time.
Yeah, she was literally sequestered and held.
She was sequestered.
Could you take your computer into ABB when you covered Biden?
I could, but there was no internet because phone either, nothing. However, with the Obama thing, got the computer in there, got it up and running, and no problem.
Blogged away, typed away.
Did the blogging, did the and I tweeted too.
You tweeted all
it's
over.
It's always
it.
Fun to tweet
well
when
done.
You have the president nearby.
Brent, you've been talking to about Nixon and Kinder.
No, that was Steve.
Steve, did you do anything this week?
No, I didn't.
For crying out loud.
I didn't do anything.
I don't want to tell you what to do, but
he stayed up late.
Brent stayed up late covering the house.
Covered the house.
And
I could tell my part, and then Steve could tell his part about
it. Do it very
Nixon
fast.
Yeah, do that.
Economic development bill. Economic development bill.
Can I go now?
Go. Ready? Speak fast.
Well, the one interesting thing, we did several interesting things, but the most interesting thing the House did this week was on preliminary consideration, gave 97 votes to spending $550 million in federal economic stimulus money on various capital improvement projects in the state. The next day, within 24 hours, or in 24 hours, that same bill got 68 votes and was defeated. Needs 82 to pass the House. So lost 29 votes in 24 hours. Don't know exactly where they went. And a bill that was approved, preliminary approval, was defeated on final consideration. To say that is rare is to be a great understatement. That's extremely rare. It happened this week. That's the main thing. We also did vote out and send to the Senate a pared-down economic development bill. We also approved the 0.5% cut in the state income tax that was to be paid for by federal economic stimulus money, but an amendment was added to make it permanent, so it would go beyond 0.5%. That one preliminary approval, And those are the things that the House did this week.
By pared down, basically splitting out the economic development into the tax credit issue and the...
Right. There's been a lot of concern about Monsanto, number one, but there are some other ones. But Monsanto in particular, Iowa's making a big push to lure Monsanto away from Missouri. There are a couple things, at least, if not three things, that that state officials believe Monsanto needs to make our effort to keep them there more attractive. So that's what is contained in this bill, and they're trying to get that through.
Let me ask you about that, because over in the Senate side, they were talking about how Monsanto is not just about to leave St. Louis, but Monsanto is going to expand. And so what they're talking about is whether this expansion happens here or in Iowa.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, they would stay
in St. Louis. They would expand.
And Iowa, Des Moines is making the big push.
Yeah, Des Moines,
And so this is like quality jobs. You create so many quality jobs, you get a big tax break, and also a tax break on research and development. And there's one other that eludes me right now, tax break that they think they need. And those are specific for Monsanto, but they're more than Monsanto. But anyway, that's there. But the big thing was, I don't know. It's always hard to say, I've never seen this before, because you're going to forget. I do not remember ever seeing a bill lose this much support going from preliminary to final within a day. Now, sometimes if you have a weekend where people can work on you, but within a day. And that brought up the clash, or Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, who was going to announce about Metro. There's $12 million in there for the Metro light rail in St. Louis in that, and it's lost if this is defeated. The Lieutenant Governor had set up a news conference. That obviously was gone, and then the Lieutenant Governor made an accusation that Steve covered.
Yes, he did. This was supposed to be an event in which it was, hey, this is great for St. Louis. Turned out that the things changed, of course, and then the Lieutenant Governor decided to go after the governor. And he's not mincing his words. He's saying the governor played a role in defeating House Bill 22, which is the bill that Brent's talking about.
He used the words minions, I believe.
He did use the word minions. He used his minions, and he said they're unimpeachable sources in the House and House of Representatives staff.
That would be
Democratic
a reference
caucus.
To the staff and the caucus staff and
that's what he's
lobbyists
talking about.
And et cetera, et
cetera. Well, not the lobbyists. He's going actually into the Democratic caucus, the people who are on the floor, and he's saying that they played a role. It was Governor Nixon.
And it's purely the Democrats that abandoned it?
No, it wasn't. See, that's where I think that breaks down. Now, I don't know whether the governor talked to Democrats. 50 Democrats voted against the bill on final consideration. 14 voted for, 50 voted against, but 32 Republicans voted against it. If you have 14, you don't even need any Democrats, for the Republicans have well more than the 82 needed. They didn't have a caucus position. It wasn't one where the speaker was saying you got to vote for this. But I'll give you just two things on this. There was very short debate on final consideration, and the House Budget Committee chairman, who sponsored the bill, gave a very short closing. Now, if he thinks it's going to go down to defeat, he's going to give a much longer and more impassioned close. He didn't. He gave a perfunctory close. That's the type of close. This is maybe a little bit inside baseball, but I guess that's all we talk about. That's the type of close you give when you think you've got the
votes.
It's
already in the bag, yeah.
Nobody, leadership clearly did not think this was going to be defeated, but in the end, only 54 Republicans voted for it, 14 Democrats. We had 32 Republicans vote against, 50 Democrats. Interestingly, two Democrats voted present, three Republicans who were in the Capitol weren't conveniently in the chamber to vote, eight Democrats weren't in the chamber. So what we call taking a walk, they had 11 legislators take a walk on it.
I thought it was interesting, though, when you talked to the leadership afterwards, the Republican leadership, they were really kind of mousy about what they thought the reason was behind this.
I couldn't get a real feel, and they kept saying things like, well, you'll have to ask the others. And then they tried to make explanations, but you just don't lose that many votes. You don't go from 97 to 68 in 24 hours. I don't know what. I think if Nixon didn't like it, which there's some indication he didn't, I could see him talking to Democrats and getting them away. But where the Republicans go, some Republicans didn't like it, thought they looked like they were spending too much money. But again, 97 the day before, 68.
This is $550 million of the federal stimulus that was earmarked for the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Discretionary money.
Now, yeah, there's some money that's being held back for future budgets. They're holding some back. The House wants to carve out and not spend $1 billion so they can have this tax cut, but they made it
all projects,
permanent.
Not programs. All 550 projects.
Capital improvement. One-time spending, all of them. Yeah, because
it's not for ongoing programs.
Well, they save some for budget.
Yeah.
They save some for future budgets.
So what do you think, Bob?
I think we're headed into the last 3 weeks of a session where zany things happen, where bills die and are resurrected in a different form somehow. Where people are playing a lot of strategy games right now. We see this year after year. We're all veteran enough reporters to know that this is a time of year when people seem to go a little bit nuts and they play their games and they're gonna play their games as long as they can, and then somebody's gonna have to blink. And the question is, who's going to blink? I don't think that we're going to lose all $550 million worth of these projects. They'll show up in other ways, in other bills probably, or there can be another come-to-Jesus meeting with the people who decided to vote against it, and they just might have to vote in favor of it this time.
Suddenly they have a change of heart.
There's a chance to reconsider that vote and come back and pass that puppy again. So that bill is not completely dead, although I don't recall ever seeing, like Brent, I don't recall ever seeing a turnaround of this scope in this short a time. It says some things about the mistrust of leadership within the party on this bill. It shows the ineffectiveness of leadership in twisting enough arms to get the votes. I can tell you that in the days of Bob Griffin, this wouldn't have happened with his party, or also with some people with their arms in slings.
Mm-hmm. And I think also you might just go back to the way we got the $1 billion tax cut. We got the $1 billion tax cut because rank-and-file Republicans, as I understand it, talking to some of them, they didn't like the initial capital improvements package that came out. Remember, they were going to, I mean, we haven't talked about this too much, but they were going to spend a lot more on capital improvements. And as I understand it, rank-and-file Republicans said, wait a minute, this looks like we're a lot of pork, and it wasn't benefiting, they didn't think, enough of the entire, it wasn't spread out enough. It was too concentrated. And there was accusations it was too concentrated in the leadership's areas.
Right.
And so then they scrapped that all of a sudden, and we had this proposal for $1 billion tax cut.
This is the first I heard of any.
I don't think we talked about it too much, but I think that this has all occurred in 2 weeks. I mean, they came up with this stuff, and I mean, time is running out. We've got the budget bills have to be approved in a week.
I thought we were having record budget shortfalls. I just am kind of flabbergasted that suddenly there's a $1 billion tax cut.
Well, and that was supposedly that's how they were going to use some of the federal stimulus money. And there was an amendment. The tax cut was supposed to be for 2 years. An amendment passed on the House that made it permanent, removed the sunset. The 2 year sunset would have made it permanent. It'd be a half cent cut in the state income tax. From 6% to 5.5%.
I think something, Brent brings up a very good point that you have to look at this time of year. Now, on another piece of legislation on the Senate side, one of the senators, Wes Schumacher, who represents the northeast part of the state, he's from Clarence, he was complaining about tax credits. He's one of the many people in the Senate who have concerns about tax credits. Cape Girardeau Senator Jason Crowell is the biggest one, perhaps, but Wes Schumacher as well. He was concerned about them, and he said, my district, the 18th, gets nothing. We get nothing. Why should I support this? And this is, you know, he's representing his district. Right. Why should I get anything? Now, I talked to him later on after this, and he says some of the new benefits that he's going to get for his district, there'll be money going into, I think, to Hannibal and something in Kirksville, and there's another area in here.
Yes, they added
district.
A myriad of things for northeast Missouri.
That's right.
Under the preliminary.
So you can look at his squawking and say he got something out of it for his district, which is something that'll, you know, look, I'm getting nothing. Give me something and I'll support you.
Yeah,
that's the way it's supposed to work.
This is the time of year when the individual member of the House or the Senate suddenly becomes very powerful because their votes are really critical right now. And if you don't give them something to go home and show to the voters, then you're not going to get their vote. So this is where we get down to the crunch time, where I have to have something to go home and tell my people.
Right. He could hardly hang his hat on, we got a tax credit for Monsanto in St. Louis.
Yeah. So
Or money for Metro.
Creating jobs.
Or a Metro.
Whatever
in
the case might be.
So a lot of these people at this point now have been waiting all session for this minute to say, you better sweeten the pot for me, or this thing's going away.
Huh.
The question now becomes, if they do send the tax cut bill to Nixon, will the governor sign a tax cut bill?
But wait, do you have any, either Bob and Steve, do you have any inclination from that the Senate's going to approve? What we hear is the Senate doesn't even care about it. They might go for a little bit of some kind of tax relief. But
I noticed one night this past week, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, it might have been, that every time there was a recorded vote, when the senators are not necessarily on the floor, but they come in from various offices, Kevin Engler, who's the floor leader, walked in each time with Jason Crowell. And I asked them both later, I said, are you guys talking or what? He's, I don't know. Okay. So I'm wondering if there might be some kind of arm twisting going on between leadership in the Senate and Jason Crowell, the Republican who is blocking this tax credit, what do I call it, tax credit, slash quality jobs slash eco-development bill. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out. I think they're trying to put pressure. Whether it'll come to pass, who knows?
There was an interesting thing on the economic development bill that happened in the Senate this week, too, because the House passed its version of 215, which is a Senate bill. And that's the economic development bill. It came back over. Charlie Shields, the floor leader, who's handling the bill in the Senate, made a motion to go to conference to work out a compromise on this bill. And then he withdrew his motion after talking to Senator Lager. Now, Senator Lager is one of the tax credit people. And Lager apparently is working with, who's the House sponsor?
Fluke. Representative Fluke.
So Lager and Fluke have been involved in some very intense discussions. And the way Lager talks about it, the discussions are solid, meaningful discussions, and there's some progress being made. So there was the motion to send this bill to a negotiating committee has been withdrawn so that these two can continue to work together. And if these two then can reach an agreement, then they'll go to the conference committee and try to work out an agreement on a larger scale. But there's no reason to try to work out an agreement on a larger scale on this bill if two of the major protagonists in the discussion are not going to agree, because they're going to kill it.
They would just kill it when it came out of outer conference committee.
So they're the key guys right now. This whole thing boils down to two people.
Hmm.
Crowell is not one of them.
This is one of those things that the average Missourian is likely not paying attention to.
I think it'd be hard for them to really pay attention. It's hard enough for us to keep up with it when we're there every day. And it shifts. It could one day be this person and that.
And then 30 people change their minds in 24 hours.
And it's difficult in any kind of assessment of a vote of 97 going to 68 is going to be flawed. Because how do you, even if you ask every one of them that switched, I'm not sure you're going to get forthright answers.
Right.
It's just difficult to know.
But
I think what Bob pointed out, I mean, this is the time of year when strange things happen. And for us, reporting on it, it's energizing. But it really brings up a lot of difficulties to really convey to the public exactly what's going on.
The clock's running out.
I think Charlie Shields, I think the Senate pro tem, President pro tem, put it best. He said, people think there are two, when it comes to the Senate, anything in the Senate, people think there are two parties. No, there are 34 parties. 34 members of the Senate, each one can block a piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what we have to watch for in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I'm interested to watch what happens, how this all shakes out in the next couple of weeks.
So are we.
We'll get back in here next week. Thanks for your time.
Let's do it again.
Absolutely. You've been listening to the Missourianet Press Pass. Have a great day.